Ward Just has been called the Washington novelist's Washington novelist. In Echo House, his 12th novel, Just enters the shadow world of invisible power brokers, people he calls fixers without portfolios who run Washington. Book critic Maureen Carrigan has a review.
The summer before my senior year in high school, I took a creative writing workshop at the New School in New York. I remember sitting around with my fellow students, reading aloud our ornately symbolic stories about suicide and young love. The instructor, a published short story writer, ominously told us on the first day of class that she supported herself by writing game show questions for Jeopardy. Her understandably gloomy worldview was reflected in the Johnny OneNote reading list of great fiction she assigned us. James Joyce's The Dead, Thomas Mann's Death in Venice, and Sherwood Anderson's Death in the Woods. Ever since, the memory of that class has frightened me away from teaching any creative writing courses myself. But if I were foolhardy enough to do so, I'd assign my students the first 60 or so pages of Ward Just's new novel, Echo House, as an exemplar of well-crafted storytelling. Echo House is a saga about the lives of three generations of men in the powerful Bell family of Washington, D.C. The novel opens on a convention night early in this century. Senator Adolph Bell has been promised the Democratic vice presidential nomination, and his family and cronies are gathered in the family mansion, named Echo House, to await the fateful phone call. But when the phone rings, it conveys a message of betrayal. In a heartbeat, Adolph changes from political patriarch to pariah. His mortified young son, Axel, resolves never to lust after the second best like his father, but to aim for the presidency. Flash forward to World War II. Axel and a buddy are working for the OSS in France. On their way to join Patton's army, they detour their jeep through a remote valley where they find a brigadoon-like village seemingly untouched by the war. The two Americans are welcomed by the locals and fed it that night in a nearby chateau. The catch is that we readers already know from the novel's prologue that Axel will be horribly wounded in the war. So as Axel sips cognac, we wait in racking suspense for the poison to take effect, for the knife to be plunged in his back, for the instrument of destruction destined to ruin Axel's presidential hopes to make its appearance. In a virtuoso demonstration of controlled author sadism, Just lets his readers cry uncle for about 30 pages before he delivers the dreaded blow. Just takes his tale about the Bell family through the Cold War, the Camelot years, when Axel's son Alec begins working as a lawyer, and the Nixon, Reagan, and Clinton administrations. An old pro at capturing the inside the Beltway scene, Just depicts a Washington populated by power brokers and an unelected elite that includes Axel and Alec Bell, who are active members of the intelligence community, a pair of father-son bureaucratic spooks. But the lives of bureaucrats, even those affiliated with the CIA, do not inherently make interesting reading. After those breathtaking first few chapters, Echo House dwindles into a much weaker chronicle of secretive, high-level paper shufflers with lousy marriages. Everyone here, the Bells, their wives, and mistresses, are so deadpan and enigmatic, they always seem to be talking in code even when they're cooking dinner. In a set piece on the opening page of the novel, Just describes the layout of the Bells' Echo House. It unfortunately could serve as a plot diagram for his novel. Just explains, the name of the house derived from the repetition of rooms on the first floor, each room perfectly square but diminishing in size. Chapter by chapter, Echo House the novel also shrinks until it and my interest reached a vanishing point.
Maureen Carrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Ward Just's new novel, Echo House.